Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect. For the month of April, all our interviews with economic developers and site consultants will be solely focused on their reaction and response to the current coronavirus pandemic. We will be releasing these on a daily basis, and we hope you find value in each episode as we all fight for our communities. Today, Ron Kitchens interviews Misty Martin, president of the Cherokee Office of Economic Development in Georgia, about how her organization and region are responding to the COVID-19 crisis.
So, you know, Misty, I always feel bad about asking this, but how are you? If family's healthy, you're healthy in this time of crisis, you doing all right?
I'm doing pretty well. We are adjusting just like everybody else in the country and world is, for sure. And we actually have had a little bit of sickness in our family. So last week, my son was running a fever, and I think it was just a cold that he was fighting off. But of course, we were very alarmed when it was, several days into it, and he was still running a fever. So we isolated him and did all the things that we were supposed to do. So that was a little bit scary, but he is, he's feeling great and bouncing back.
That's a blessing, but had to be really scary.
Yes, it was.
So let's talk about how COVID-19's impacting your region.
Well, I feel very fortunate that we're not in a hotspot area in Atlanta. But of course, it's hit us very hard. And with Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, you can imagine the changes there and what it's, how Delta's bouncing back or hoping to bounce back. We're thinking 18 months now is what I'm hearing. But we have some industries that are doing really well across the region, some that are a little surprising. But and locally, we have some medical device companies that are doing really well that we have actually been promoting hiring for them. So that's been interesting. And also the challenges that they're facing just with supply chain issues and things like that we're still trying to help them. And then oddly enough, we've had a playground equipment company that is doing really well right now. And that was a surprise to me because I guess so many people are working from home and not able to go to parks. They're trying to get their kids outside. And so that company's doing really well right now.
That's awesome because, you know, I'm in Michigan, and so that wouldn't be an allowable activity. So no landscaping, nobody who works outside, no construction is allowed to work. So I'm glad to hear that there are good things going on. So how's it affecting your organization? What are you thinking? I had a rough weekend this past weekend, and I talked to, I guess, six different chamber leaders who are probably going to go out of business. They just don't see a way back out. And so we were talking about how they could merge with the economic development groups in the area and those things. But how's it affecting you?
Well, of course, we're concerned we do have a public-private partnership that we started a few years ago. And, you know, and so we're certainly concerned with revenues from that and keeping a close eye on that from an organizational point of view. We've been doing a lot to team up with our Chamber of Commerce. We're totally separate organizations, but we hosted a webinar last Friday with the Chamber and our SBDC office. And so we've also been teaming up to try to put similar information on our resource pages on our website. So we're trying to do as much as we can to make it seamless and support one another's organizations. So I think that's important too. And I know that they're concerned from a revenue standpoint, and because a lot of these nonprofits make monies off of their meetings, and so they're not able to have those right now. So I think we'll all have to keep a close eye on our budgets and trying to figure out how much, you know, what we can do, what our resources are going to be going forward. And I don't think any of us can forecast really well because we don't know how long it's going to last. And so I think that's the big question that everyone's trying to answer. From our organization, we went remote as quickly as possible. And we're just trying to make sure that we're doing a lot of listening, to our our companies, and then we're basing our strategy day by day on what the needs are.
So talk about listening for me. Is that it's interesting, along with interviewing economic developers every day for this, we're also reaching out to a lot of site consultants and asking them to join us. And this listening keeps coming up and up, in that in a lot of cases it's because, well, we don't have any answers, so you might as well listen. But talk about how you all are being conscious about reaching out to people to ask the right questions, to be able to get responses, and how you process those.
Well, I got some advice probably 10 years ago from a grief counselor when one of my friends had experienced a great tragedy, and the counselor said, I want to reach out. I want to do something. And the counselor said, Misty, make sure that you're reaching out to that person for him and not for you. Don't reach out to make yourself feel better. And so that's some advice that I gave to our team when we were talking about how we could best serve our community and region. I said, let's make sure that we're not doing something just to do something, that we're not just taking a casserole to the funeral home, you know, that we're actually listening and not just saying, how can we help? Because guess what? When you're in a tragedy, no one knows exactly how they need to be helped. And so we've been very intentional in our outreach. Not, you know, there's so much information to digest right now. And so we're trying not to flood our companies with emails and communication, because we're trying to be very intentional, and we're trying to make sure that whatever we do is truly helping them versus just noise. And so to begin with, when it was starting to unfold, you know, we were talking to our chamber president and talking to different folks in the community. And I said, let's just give these guys a minute to breathe. I said, they're trying to figure out, their sales are down 30-40%. They're trying to figure out how many people to lay off. They're trying to figure out how to do it. If it's just a temporary layoff for 2 weeks, they're trying to figure out, should they shut their plant down? This was before, of course, we had the shelter in place order from our governor. So there were a lot of things that they were trying to deal with internally. And I just didn't feel like they needed tons of information coming out from our organization at that time. So that's part of the being conscious and being considerate and listening, and why it's so important.
Yeah, no, I love that. And to go into that I, you know, from that grief perspective, because I think you're right, because we all got this. It was, for the first week, it was like, I was shocked how many companies had my email and felt compelled to tell me what their COVID strategy was. Like, one, I don't care. And two, why do I need 300 emails to tell me essentially the same thing that apparently they all hired the same outside firm to write? And it didn't do me any good, and it doesn't make me feel great about you. And, you know, as we're talking today, you know, in Michigan, we're about to hit, or in the Detroit area, we're about to hit kind of the worst week of it. And there's a real sense of grief. I mean, there's a real hospice kind of feel to things, that we know people are about to have this explosion of grief and not really knowing what to do. And that's what I told my team. I said, just call people and be nice, but don't try to sell them. Don't try to fix. Don't anything. If there's something you can do, they'll tell you. But I love that, to make sure we're reaching out for them and not us.
Right.
That's great advice. What's the question? And it's not one we teed up for you, but what are the things that great economic development groups are going to do today that are going to make a difference 9 months from now?
You know, we've been asking ourselves that. And on our team call last week, I said, you know, I feel like we've got 8 of the most talented people that work on our team, and we touch so many different aspects of business, whether it's workforce, entrepreneurship, film, existing industry, recruitment. I said, you know, our team ought to be able to figure out solutions for our community. And I think all of us feel like we have the weight of our community on our shoulders, because the economic, you know, the economic development and economic vitality of the community, we feel responsible for. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of creativity in the next 12 months from economic developers. I know that every night I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's the thing that we haven't thought of? What's a solution? I will tell you, one of our partners in our region, Invest Atlanta, which is the Atlanta Development Authority, I feel like they've done a fabulous job. In early March, right after Site Selectors Guild, they started working on a business continuity loan plan for their businesses, and the city put $1.5 million into this plan. And as of last week, they already had 215 applicants. And I feel like they did a really good job of being nimble and putting something in place even before we knew how bad it was going to get. And so, you know, we're researching lots of options of what we can do through our different development authorities that could help our community and our region. So I think you're going to see the economic developers teaming up. We're going to see a lot of regionalism. We're going to see a lot of partnerships. I know in the Metro Atlanta region, we're doing a weekly call and sharing as much as we can with one another. So I think the communication is going to be of utmost importance, and the partnerships and helping each other get by.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. You know, we are issuing checks today. We received a grant from the state for $800,000 to help support small businesses, and so we ended up with 1,080 applicants. The largest check by the rules could be $10,000. It ended up being about 5,500 was the average. Did 144 grants, but we had 12 to 1. For every dollar we had, we had $12 requested. The state's just issued a grant of $1 million to help companies that need a little money to tool up to do COVID-related manufacturing, and $150,000 maximum. They have 208 applicants at the end or at the start of the day today, and there's two more days of the application. So I think the need is overwhelming, and it's going to take creative, amazing economic developers to figure this out. I think, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this every day is because economic developers do have the weight of the world on their shoulders, and we want to support them. Look in your crystal ball and help. Where do you think your region is at in 18 months or 2 years? You know, you talked about 3 years for Delta coming back, or 18 months, I guess. And where do you think the region is? Your area of responsibility, what's that going to look like?
I think a lot of it depends on the health of the literal health of our region and how quickly we bounce back. And if we make it through the next few weeks without becoming a hotspot, I think that's going to help us rebound more quickly. I think, you know, our auto and aerospace sectors have definitely been hit pretty hard, and obviously transportation, like with Delta. But I think that our e-commerce is pretty strong in Atlanta and in the state. And so I think that we do have industries that are going to bounce back pretty quickly. So I'm encouraged by that. And I think that because we do have some strong existing industry programs. We have a lot of, like in Cherokee specifically, on average, our companies that have 30 or more employees have been here for over 20 years. And so I think there's some great consistency there and great support system there. So I think we as economic developers are going to remember to slow down a little bit and be a little more thankful for what we have in our communities. I know we're always trying to grow our communities, and we're trying to recruit, and we're trying to, you know, constantly provide jobs, and we'll continue to do that. But I think that just like in any hard time, we're going to be a little more humble and a little more thankful for what we do have in our communities, and remember to be as supportive as possible to our entrepreneurs and small businesses and those manufacturers that have been here supporting us, paying taxes, employing our people. I think we owe them a lot of gratitude.
I think we do. And I think this, you know, as we're talking, it's Easter week. And I think this idea of humble and gracious is something that we have to remember, because even as ugly as this is and going to be, we all still have to come out of it. We have families depending on us and businesses and communities, and the work's just going to start. And so, yeah, we're blessed to be able to do the work, and I'm blessed to call you my friend, and we've been friends a long time, and I know you're doing incredible work, and I'm so grateful that everybody in your home is healthy. And know that we stand ready to serve you, whatever we can do. So, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your friendship and guidance always. So, take care and stay healthy.
All right. You too. Thanks. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
I loved that interview with Misty. Don't forget to tune in every weekday for more interviews with economic developers and site consultants sharing their responses and actions to the COVID-19 crisis. The America's Jobs Team podcast is powered by Consultant Connect and sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.